My name is Heather Ely, and I am blessed to be able to call Colorado home, more specifically Grand County. I am the founder and executive director of Project Sanctuary. We help military families heal. Live in Colorado. We bring families from all over the world here, and we help them heal. We've been hosting retreats for 6 years now. During the first Gulf War, I was volunteering in a free clinic, and military families started coming in. Usually it was a husband who had Gulf War syndrome, and a wife, and children. And they were driving from states away looking for help, looking for answers. And what really stuck with me was a picture of this family sitting in the waiting room. Mom's orchestrating the appointments. She's taking notes, straightening out the meds. Children are with them. They've had to come out of school to accompany dad to his medical appointments. And it really struck home to me that the whole family was serving. And that what would happen if the parents divorced? So that vision stayed with me. And then you fast forward to the global war on terror and 9/11. And I recognized that hundreds of thousands of families were going to be impacted. And so for me, that vision of those children sitting in the waiting room, I knew I needed to do something. Actually, I was in a professional development seminar, and they were teaching some meditation and visualization tools, and it clicked with me. For the first time, I was like, oh, that's it. That's what I need. That's where I need to be. And so I was literally meditating in California on a ranch at a retreat. And I had the vision of Project Sanctuary, a military retreat built. And I walked away going, well, that's odd. Why would I have that in my head? I'm a civilian. I don't have visions. That's insane. And so I spent a year of my life walking around and getting to know some veterans and some veteran groups and saying, okay, I've got this great idea. I think I know how we can make a difference. We have to build a retreat center, a sanctuary, a safe place, a place of healing. And all these veterans said, that is awesome, go do it. I'm like, but I can't, I'm a civilian. Why in the world would I, you know, I'm making good money. I'm a registered nurse, I live on a golf course, I'm doing really well. Why would I do that? But really the vision and the thought that, again, those families back in my weight room with the children, that somebody needed to do something, so I started a nonprofit, almost Googled how to start a nonprofit. What's a board? What do I do? Went to LegalZoom, gave them my credit card, and off we went. It took a while to gain the respect from the military community. A lot of times they would say, oh, here comes hippie Heather, or who let in the blonde chick, and what does she want? But then they figured out that I was really good at listening. I was really good at listening to what the families need and what the families were saying and relaying that information. But it took some time to win over the respect of the military community. I don't know if I'm stubborn. I mean, obviously starting a nonprofit has its financial implications. There were some scary parts and some tough roads, but really the families, they kept calling. And they kept emailing, saying, nobody else is out there. Where do we go for my children? How do we get the help we need? And so it was just this overwhelming need, I think, that keeps us going. I can't quit. Peace means stillness, being able to be still and listen. It's hope. It's that calming, that sacred place where good things happen, where you can listen and you can calm yourself and you can find hope. So for me, meditation's a big part of that. That's what peace means to me. We try to do that. We try to create a sanctuary. So we bring families up here and we create the quiet. We create that opportunity so that the families can experience some peace. And hopefully reconnect with who they are and where they need to go and find a little bit of hope. The retreats always look a little bit different. So they're going to take on the flavor of the families that are there. Sometimes we have really upbeat, crazy retreats that they're ready to get outside and hit the mountains and let out some frustration. Sometimes they're a little more mellow. Sometimes we're dealing more with grief. So the retreats take on their own personalities, which keeps it fun. Each retreat's always different. We'll host somewhere between 6 and 12 families at a time. We bring them in from all over the country, so it gives us a really unique experience. When a military family first arrives, they're usually pretty stressed. They've come over a pass or they've had a day of traveling, and they don't know us yet. It takes a couple of days to build that trust and that relationship. So the first day, 2 days, they've got these big wide eyes. They're looking for the purple Kool-Aid. They're looking for the timeshare. What's going on? How could this be free? But by day 3 or 4, we call it magic. There's a shift. Literally, the shoulders are relaxed. You start watching some hand-holding. You start watching some fathers with their kids. And by the end of the retreat at day 6, they're totally different. There's a peace about them. They're happy. They're hopeful. We joke that if the retreats were 7 days, they would never leave. It would be a mess. So they have to be 6 days so that they go home. But they've formed friendships and bonds with the other families that have been here. And it really is an amazing transformation to watch these families. We had a phone call from a base. The Wounded Warrior Support Battalion called and said, "We have a family that's in crisis. Could you please take them?" And I'll go ahead and use his real name's Todd. He would want me to tell his story. While he was deployed, I believe it was his third deployment, his wife had gone back home to the Philippines with their children, and he was blown up. He was injured. So he was flown back early, and he was in the Wounded Warrior unit. Took a while to get the wife back. They weren't planning on flying her back. There were a lot of financial issues with his post-traumatic stress, his TBI. He wasn't handling things as well. It was a very stressful time. So when Todd and his family walked through the door, I have this picture of Todd holding his toddler son, and his head's literally touching his shoulder. So we just assumed that was part of the injury, that something had gone wrong and his head was touching his shoulder. About 3 days into the retreat, Todd walks in and his head's perfectly straight. "Oh, Todd, what happened to your head?" And he looked at me and he said, "Miss Heather, I'm safe." And so there's a visual. We can see changes in these families. And it's really powerful. I think a lot of what's going on when the veterans return home, especially after being in a conflict or being at war, going through a deployment, there's this preconceived notion that they're tough guys. So to imagine a warrior, a veteran, sitting still and reconnecting with himself and reconnecting with his family sometimes can be a little bit of a misnomer. Well, and they should soldier up. They should get through their problems. They should suck it up. They shouldn't have to ask for help. And a lot of the military families, not just society puts that pressure on, but they put that pressure on themselves. So to be able to come to a therapeutic retreat with their family, to be able to get the tools they need to continue and move forward and be a productive member of society. A lot of these families, they're in the military because they want to serve. And so to give them that opportunity to continue to serve is really huge. So if we can break that stress cycle and give them some tools and give them some support and they can find some hope and they can reconnect with their family, that they're going to do better. We're great at putting so many things into our lives and keeping our children almost overscheduled with soccer practice and piano lessons, and we got to go to this doctor, and oh, we'll feel better if we all go hike, or oh, let me go join a gym. That I don't think we take enough time just to stop and be still. I think it's really powerful when you have that opportunity to be still and reconnect with who you are. Then you know which direction you need to go. Then you can listen to yourself and figure out how you're going to heal. I believe that everybody innately knows what they need in order to be happy and successful. but we don't always stop to listen to ourselves or our higher power or whatever you want to call it. And that when you're able to be still, then you know. So many times the veterans come home and they're asked, so what are you going to do now? What are you going to do in school? What's your job? And there's lots of nonprofits, and they're all wonderful, and they're focused on getting the veterans back to school or back to a job. And that is wonderful, but I really think they're missing a key step, which is, who is that veteran? What is he like? What does he enjoy? Is he a dad? Is he a fisherman? Is he a hiker? What makes him happy? Where's his family? How do they play into it? If you're so focused on what you do that you forget who you are, then that could be a problem. Through the military life, they're told what to do, when to go, where to live. Everything's mapped out for them. So they are battle ready. They know what they need to do within that scope. So as they transition out of the military, they don't have that parameter. They don't have those rules. So helping them reconnect with who they are and reconnect with their family so that they can have some structure that way really helps. We had a combat veteran who was really struggling at the retreat, and he was going through our healthy marriage classes, and you could just really see the internal struggle. And our counselor pulled him aside and said, what is going on? And he said, you know, I am battle ready. I knew I would die for my country. I knew who was on my right, who was on my left, who had my back. I knew what to do. I come home and I'm not there. You know, at work, I was not a quitter. I would never, ever, ever quit. And the counselor looked at him and said, and how many times have you been divorced? And he said, oh God, I've been divorced 3 times. I am a quitter. He said, is there a way to take me from battle ready to family ready? Can we do that? And it's all about training. It's all about giving them that direction and that hope. Can you imagine going from a battlefield and doing the things necessary in war and then trying to come home and reconcile that you are that person, that maybe you've done things that you didn't think you were capable of doing, but at home, you're a different person. So there's a lot of that internal conflict that goes on. You have to be careful and not paint them, you know, as monsters, and you have to edit out those stories. Well, I think that if we get back to basics and we put aside our political affiliations and our thoughts about what is right and what is wrong, and we focus on what we have in common, and we focus on the nucleus of the family, and recognize that when a service member, man or woman, deploys and goes to war, that a family's affected. And so if we can just focus back on that one common theme, that these are families in our communities, and that they may need a little extra help, and then they're going to be ready to serve again. Yeah, I'm actually listed on Facebook as politically agnostic. Politically agnostic means I've been to Washington one too many times, and you go from one side to the other and they say the exact same thing, paraphrased pretty closely. So I believe that they have good intentions, but yeah, politically agnostic. I'm pro-family. So I think if anything, that hopefully they come away knowing that there's hope and that there are people that care. At the end of each retreat, we have something called Operation Gratitude, so that they're able to see everybody that made their retreat possible. And it's not just the dollar amounts and the fact that people give money, but the families really like to see that other people care and that they're not forgotten and that, okay, maybe we will be okay. Your family's now your battle buddy. Trust them. Reach out to your family. Talk to them, work through it. There are lots of ways to find hope and healing. Even if you can't go to a therapeutic retreat or you can't completely get away, there's opportunities all across the whole country where you can get outside and spend some quiet time with your family. Peace means a stillness a quiet. Peace means hope. Peace means joy, family, connections. That gives me hope. Watching the families all intertwine and reconnect, and watching maybe a Marine family connect with an Air Force family, and seeing that they're still communicating, that there is hope for all of us if we just reach out to help each other.